here this afternoon, 74 to 53. Before we move on, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 for an ID. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
74-53, your final as Wisconsin defeats Chicago State today. More of our Ford dealers, Wisconsin Ford dealers postgame shows coming up with Butchie's Breakdown back in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it. Because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024 U.S. Bank.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way, you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Hey Badger fans, basketball season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
With the holidays around the corner, why not check the Badger fan in your life off the list early? Take advantage of Black Friday deals on Badger tickets and give the gift of an unforgettable experience with discounts on Badger men's and women's basketball, hockey, and wrestling tickets, and a winter full of exciting home matchups. There's something for every Badger fan. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to explore all the Badger Black Friday deals and to secure your seats. uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Our local Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues as the Badgers defeat Chicago State this afternoon, 74-53. I'll step aside. Butchie gets to break it all down for us.
And there's a lot to break down. Some good, some bad, and some in between. But we'll start with, we'll talk mainly good here, all right?
It was the best of times. It was the worst
it
of
was.
Times.
And the sad part is you knew coming into this game, that's what it was going to be. It just was one of those. I've played in a lot of them. Wisconsin scheduled a lot of them. Why? It's the one after Thanksgiving. You want to get going. You want to play a little bit. So Wisconsin, 26 points in the paint. I thought that was really good. 18 of 21 for the free throw line. That was really good. Again, that's what they're going to need to do in Big Ten play. That's what they're going to need to do during this stretch coming up in the schedule as well. Here's the best number, and it's something that we've started to see a trend with this Wisconsin team. 17 assists on 23 made field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the number that when we talk about, and when you play better competition, when you're having that many assists to that many made field goals, it's telling me, number one, you're connected as a team. Even in a game like this, that's, you know, all over the place. But it also tells me that you've got belief within one another, and you're playing for one another. And like I said, especially in a game like this where Chicago State's playing so many different defenses, whether it's a press, whether it's a 1-3-1, whether it's a man, whether it's sometimes Chicago State didn't know what they were in.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Sometimes
it's the old whatever defense.
It's the whatever defense. And there was some of that this afternoon.
Yes.
Still being able to share the ball at a high level like that gives me hope for what this team can still do. And they're showing people. I mean, I've seen it out there that, you know, this is a pleasant surprise from Wisconsin. Nobody was expecting this. Well, you got to watch this team a little bit more, and you can see exactly what they're capable of. And that 17 assists on 23 field goals, I think, is a great example of what they can do.
And then on the defensive end, we know Chicago State is a team that does not score well, does not shoot the ball well at all. But they felt like they stayed to the principles here.
Yeah, again, I think if Greg and staff wants to pick apart any part of the defense, they could find something.
Sure.
However, I think this is one of those film sessions that Greg and staff already has an area where they feel like they can get better. Mm-hmm. I think those are probably the clips that they pull. Show those. They don't necessarily show the clips of some of the other things that they've done wrong, knowing that those are not what they normally do.
Sure.
Kind of fits into this flow of this game a little bit.
Yeah, it makes sense. Badgers win it today, 74-53. When we continue, we'll check out the Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. Check out a couple of Big Ten football games. It's getting a little tense in Columbus. How's that for a tease? We're back in 1 minute. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
Join us on Tuesdays for Community Stories and Thursdays for Community Stories Junior, both from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WFHR. Your host, Melissa Kay, brings together folks of all ages from our community. With history from our elders to innovations from our young people, Community Stories brings in-depth local stories you won't hear anywhere else right here on WFHR. Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 5 to 6.
Hey, Forrester and the Ad Council.
Our post-game coverage continues as the Badgers a winner here today, 74-53 over Chicago State. Two other Big Ten teams will be playing out in Vegas later this afternoon. You got Rutgers against Texas A&M. And then tonight, a fun one, I think you got unbeaten Oregon at 7-0 against ninth-ranked and 6-1 Alabama. A little football scoreboard update here, our Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. In the fourth quarter at Wrigley Field, Brett Bielema's Illinois Fighting Illini pulling away from Northwestern 38-20. That would get the Illini to 9-3. So a really nice year put together by Brett Bielema down there in Champaign. And they're in the final, well, about 2.5 minutes in Columbus. Michigan is in the red zone. Michigan and Ohio State tied at 10. I want to go out on a limb and say they're getting a little uptight down there in Buckeye land.
Just a little. You think we're going to have an 8 overtime game?
That was pretty awesome last night, by the way.
Did you fall asleep during it?
No, I was mesmerized.
Oh, I mean, I didn't either. No.
The Georgia Tech game, you fell asleep. I know you did. I'm sitting there. I was like, we get this game over with. And I'm like, well, I can't walk away now.
You can't. You were fully committed. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It was a heck of a game. And they've got a heck of a game there as Michigan trying to beat Ohio State for what would be the fourth consecutive time. And that probably wouldn't go over very well there. It's just my guess. But Michigan is with a serious threat there late in the game. Wisconsin wins on the basketball court here today, 74-53 over Chicago State. More to come as our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Join the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and make a positive impact on lives across the state. Enjoy an excellent state benefits package and a nationally ranked pension program. The Wisconsin DOC is currently hiring correctional officers with a starting pay of over $33 per hour, plus scheduled increases and plenty of advancement opportunities. Plus, hourly rates increase for those hired for medium and maximum security positions. To learn more and apply, go to wisc.jobs. That's W-I-S-C.jobs.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist. End the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Finding the right gift is getting tougher than ever. And who's got the time? That's why more people are shopping online every year. But where do you start? How about the taste of the holidays? Usinger's famous sausage. If you've ever received a Usinger gift box, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They ship anywhere in the continental U.S., and they come in a variety of prices and styles. Go ahead, be a holiday hero, the one who sends the perfect gift. Visit Usinger.com. That's Usinger.com or Google Milwaukee's famous sausage.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
Wisconsin is home to some of the best educators in the country. The Outstanding Educator Program is brought to you by WEA Member Benefits, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Throughout the season, we are honoring incredible educators who go above and beyond for their students and communities. Do you know an educator who deserves the spotlight? Nominate them today at uwbadgers.com/outstanding educator. That's uwbadgers.com/outstanding educator. Because great educators make Wisconsin proud.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues as Wisconsin defeats Chicago State this afternoon, 74-53. We are joined courtside by head coach Greg Gard. Again, the ability to get to the free throw line, John Tanjay specifically, your team is overall. It's one of those games where you could check the box, you won the game, and like Brian and I was saying, and then you fix what needs fixing, but
yeah.
You won by 21.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good things other than making threes. I mean, you go 3 for 16 and a half, and, you know, not, maybe we took too many, but I thought 14 of the 16, as we looked them all at all of them at halftime, were wide open.
Yeah.
You got to take it wide open.
Maybe one or two wasn't, but like that's what. But,
You're typically not going to have all of them wide open if you're taking. But I thought second half, you know, you make 50% of them, you get to the free throw line, which was good. You know, and I thought defensively we did some decent things. It's a little unique matchup again with mobile parts and everybody shooting threes for them. So, you know, I know we know what we've come off of and we know what we got coming. So, good to get through. I thought guys that, you know, even Cam Hunter, the little bit of time he did what we needed there at the end of the first half. Ricardo Greppi come in, and I always say make, no matter if you get 20 seconds or 39 minutes, make the most of it. And I thought Greppi came in and maximized his 2 minutes and 20 seconds, rebounding, physical, getting to the line. So all those things continue to add up as you keep. I thought Xavier Amos, once he got settled in, was a little more aggressive and did some good things. So, a lot to learn from. But, you know, when you shoot it well, everything looks perfect. When you don't, you got to find other ways to get it done.
When you look at this game and then obviously what's ahead of you, how hard is it to make sure you guys are dialed into this one? Just because they're 18, 22-year-old kids. They know what's ahead, even though you try to prep and you bring them in and you practice. It's human nature.
It is. And you come off of, you know, the days we had down at Greenbrier and stuff. You know, so it's you still got to play. And I think even when you don't shoot it well, we did some other good things. 17 assists on 23 baskets.
That was my biggest thing, too.
We shared it.
You guys moved the ball well,
And actually, analytically, we guarded pretty well. They were 25 on 35 in the first half and 28 on 29. So they're well under one. So that told me we were, you know, doing some good things there defensively. It's a concepts and rules game, Matt. We talked about this before. A lot of switching, a lot of dribble handoff, a lot of weave stuff that, and you end up with maybe mismatches to a degree, and you got to sit down and guard and plug our gaps. And you know, I thought we were decent defensively. Not perfect by any means, but like I said, we got the ball to go in a little bit second half and got more to ourselves.
How hard is it to pull clips from a game like this? It's one of those things. That's what I told. Yeah. I told Matt. I said, you know, this is one where there's some things that show up that you don't necessarily need to show because it hasn't showed up throughout the season.
Yeah, and it's not.
And
relevant.
There's some that you know that, like, hey, this is a problem we've had throughout. We're going to keep showing it and keep showing it. Am I right in saying that? Is that kind of the same philosophy?
I mean, some of it is relevant. I think that's any game. There's things that are relevant and things that aren't. You know, if there's mainstays and constants that we see. We show those, and I show the good ones, too.
Yep,
you know, I think
absolutely.
The thing in the second half was we threw the ball inside. How yes. simple is that? And we throw it inside, and we get fouled, and we shoot wide open threes.
Yeah, he tends to point that out, being a big a lot.
There was 18 minutes left in the second half, and I'm sitting back here just saying, Matt, can they just throw it in, please?
Yeah.
Like, can they just throw it in?
Sometimes
and
you try to make it way more complicated than it needs to be, and then you are confused.
I'll back up a minute. You're talking about Xavier Amos getting in. I mean, we've talked the last couple of weeks. He's someone who could be, I don't know if wild card's the right word. It's probably not. But he's the athleticism, the versatility, as he continues to get more acclimated, could be a pretty important piece to this.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with him is just confidence. You know, and the confidence, when he has it, he's aggressive. When he doesn't, he's hesitant. And when you're hesitant, you're, you know, a step slow on things, both ends of the floor. So I noticed there at the end, he started to get a little more aggressive, started to settle in a little bit more. And that's something he's got to be able to come out of the gates with. He can't take as long to settle in and catch himself out of position in the first half where he was. It's a different role when you come in off the bench. You got to come in all guns blazing and on both ends of the floor. But I think that's something as he's, you know, continuing to grow in his game. I think his game is, quite frankly, young in terms of the experience that he's had and the things that he can add to his game. His potential is far greater than where he is right now with his own personal game.
So it makes this fun to watch for us and while you do what you do. So congrats, 8-0. That's pretty good. It's a heck of a start. I know business really picks up.
Yeah, it does. Deep water is coming.
Yeah, here we go. Let's do it. Well, enjoy this one. We'll see you soon.
We will. All right, thanks, guys.
Badgers head coach Greg Gahr joining us courtside as Wisconsin defeats Chicago State 74-53. We'll take one more break, then we'll get out of here because they're getting ready for a hockey game tonight. Back in 1 minute. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Ahead, including the Big Ten opener. Got a little new look Michigan Wolverines rolling into town on Tuesday night.
Dude, they're coming off the Fort Myers tip-off classic. They won as well. Wisconsin did that last year. But it's a It's a new team that plays completely different. It should be a great matchup for Wisconsin. Another test for this team. So far, this team has answered all the tests that they've been put in front of them.
All right. Got a day game for you. It's good. It's not raining or snowing, so dry track for you to drive back home tonight.
Absolutely.
Good for you. All right. All right. That'll do it for us. Wisconsin, a winner 74-53 over Chicago State. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Brian Butch, our engineer Dave McCann, and Aisha Jackson back at our network studio, this is Matt LePay hoping you will join us on Tuesday night as the Badgers open Big Ten play by hosting the Michigan Wolverines. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Proud casino partners of Wisconsin Athletics. And by Fabic Rents. For all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Brought you to that.
A few things.
Was it an assignment from them, or was that something that you kind of said, this needs to be done?
Well, it's interesting because before I did mental health, I was the political watchdog reporter, as yes. maybe many listeners or some listeners know.
That does damage to your mental health.
I was not doing well mentally, but mm-hmm. I always saw that beat as a stepping stone to something else. I went to school for health and environmental reporting. Yeah. And of course, so much can be done in watchdog reporting during COVID. So I was well primed to tackle public health and policy, all of that. But I don't love covering politics is something that I learned. It just wasn't for me. And I never intended that to be for me. And when I realized that that was the direction I was going, I kind of did an SOS to my editors and said, this is not, I don't think I can continue doing this without imploding. Mm. And at that same moment, one of the editors said, you know, we're thinking about possibly creating a new position in mental health. And my eyes just like got really wide. And right. he was like, oh, yeah. Okay. So you're going to take that job. And I was like, yes. So it was very serendipitous, but yeah. one big reason that I thought, wow, this is kismet is because I've always struggled with my own mental health. I've struggled with the barriers to access. I have been on the phone for hours and hours trying to find someone to help me. And both in Wisconsin and in New York, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that you can hear when you're in pain is that there's nothing they can do, or they can.
Help is on the way in 4 months.
Help is on the way in 4 months, or yeah. we can set you up with someone, but they're out of your network, or,
yes.
Someone is available right now and they're not good. Right. So there's all sorts of things that can go wrong. It's almost like you have to have wisdom of the inside going in. Mm-hmm. And that shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't have to mentally task yourself when you're mentally struggling. So when I got the job, I thought the big thing I want to focus on is access and why we need to do more to help people find the help they need. Huh. And then COVID happened and supply is low and demand is high.
Supply was low before COVID.
Yes, it predates COVID. Right. But a few things happened that COVID enhanced, which is stigma started to reduce. Yes. People started to talk more about their mental health. And more people realized the pains that they were experiencing, the psychic pain that kept them up at night, that kept them routinely making the same mistakes, was about their mental health. It wasn't, there's nothing wrong with them. And they're not alone.
Yeah.
And so they probably did something like I did when I first realized I needed help, which is try to call somebody, try to reach out, learn. Yes, we can see you in 8 months.
Yeah.
Or yes, we can take your insurance, but there's a very high deductible.
Yeah.
Or
we cover three visits.
Yeah, we cover three visits. Mm-hmm. We can see you for half an hour every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This is a 15-week service, or, you know, whatever the case. There was always, it always seemed like it was temporary or not soon enough. So the pandemic created an awareness that we were all struggling and there wasn't enough workforce to manage everybody. I mean, when you look at a map of Wisconsin and look at the high need of mental health professionals, the entire state lights red.
Yeah.
You know, and red indicates bad.
is that unique to Wisconsin, or is ours worse than others?
No. No,
I know
it's not.
It's bad all
over. It's funny because we seem to be doing better than most states in terms of healthcare professionals, at least according to Mental Health of America's state survey. Like, we seem to have some of the best coverage. But contextually, when everywhere is bad, it's not that we're the best, we're just the least bad.
Right.
And that's not, you know, it's not sufficient to say that we're making the most of a very terrible system. I mean, it's better than other states, but we have in Wisconsin some really unique resources. We have some of the best institutions in the country, I think. And we have a really strong focus on healthcare in the state. And we also are a brain drain state, which means that people come here, they get educated, and then they leave to go to other places. It's not to no one's fault, right? You know, like, it's hard to convince somebody who has these big dreams of working in a city to work in the Northwoods, you know? It's really hard to appeal to people who are, maybe they're young, they're single, they want to meet somebody, have a family, and then there's a job opening in Ashland, and it's hard to convince people to do that. And those rural areas need the most help, but they're still struggling. Like, there's like tri-county support systems, like multiple counties coming together. But that also means that, say, someone that's living up in the North Woods, they might have to travel an hour to find services.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's just being generous. Yeah.
That's crazy. Here we're talking with Natalie Albert on the Rational Revolution about mental health. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side. We'll see you back in a little bit. Excuse me.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
CBS News Brief. It's Small Business Saturday, and that means local retailers could reap in big profits. Bert Flickinger is with the Strategic Research Group.
It's confirmed that Small Business Saturday is the only day that customer counts on Small Business Saturday in the stores is going to be equal to what's spent online.
Lake effect snow is picking up in parts of West Michigan and Western New York State. CBS News New York meteorologist John Elliott is following.
This is some pretty intense snow. It's just a machine, these narrow bands, and snowfall rates at 1 to 2 inches an hour.
An Israeli airstrike on a car in the Gaza Strip has killed 5 people. Three people appeared to be employees of the food charity World Central Kitchen. The Israeli military said a militant was in that vehicle who had taken part in the October 7th attack. World Central Kitchen says it had no knowledge of any employee involved in terrorism. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum. Head coach Doc Rivers asked how Chris Middleton is doing after surgery on both ankles this summer.
It went great. Yeah, he's progressing. I keep saying it, but you can ask as many questions you want. It's not going to make him come back faster.
So. NFL, the Packers start practice tomorrow preparing for Thursday night's game in Detroit against the Lions. College football, the Badgers losing at home to Minnesota 24-7. Head coach Luke Fickell on finishing the season with a losing record of 5-7.
We got a lot of work to do, and there's only one way. Understand this. Everybody can say recruiting. Everybody can say go transfer portal. All those things that we'll do, but there's one way to get better at this freaking game, and it's to freaking work at it, and it's to play it, and it's to go out there and perform. You don't just get better practice. You don't just get better watching film. And if we don't go out and perform and play, then our ass ain't going to get any better.
That's Wisconsin's head football coach, Luke Fickell, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny and breezy, highs near 16, west winds 15 to 20 with higher gusts. For tonight, mostly cloudy, still breezy, a low near 10. Sunday, mostly sunny, breezy, highs near 27. Monday, partly sunny with a high around 28. Currently 17 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Mark Becker here with the Rational Revolution. What's up, revolutionaries? We got dear friend Mike Madrid. Sorry I cut you off there, but you were talking on the other side about Mexican schools and what happened there.
Yeah, so throughout the Southwest, early in the 1900s, there we had school segregation, no different than you had with black and white segregation in the South. And again, this is a story that's not often told or made much aware of, but The actual court case in the federal jurisdiction that overturned segregation was not Brown versus Board at first. The first court case was a California case called Mendez versus Westminster, which eliminated Mexican schools, the segregation of schools. And actually, Thurgood Marshall filed an amicus brief, understanding that that case would be precedent for Brown versus Board.
Well, I had no idea. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think a lot of this history, unfortunately, because of the dark times that may be coming, will start coming to light about the Mexican impacts of what happens during a dark period of history in our country.
Well, I want to talk about what's coming because, so, you know, the Trump famously in 2016 said he was going to build the wall, Mexico was going to pay for it, LOL, right?
Right.
But he also promised mass deportations. He failed on both accords. Is this different?
Well, I mean, look, it depends on what the definition of mass deportation is. Do I believe he will crack down on trying to get some of the most violent offenders out there? And they are there, incidentally. Yeah. No one is suggesting that everybody here is, you know, an angel. They're not. And there needs to be a process where that is remedied. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. The question is, does it go beyond that? And what now, look, I would never bet that Donald Trump would do the right thing for humanitarian reasons. Uh-huh. But for economic reasons, with a lot of his wealthy friends, a lot of the industries in this country are reliant on this labor. That's why people are here. So whether it's agricultural farming and picking or whether it's processing or meatpacking in the Midwest, you go on and on and on. The hotel industry, the service sector is overwhelmingly reliant on undocumented labor. That's why there are 20 million workers here. So, are those interests going to just say, okay, well, we'll let these folks go and then quadruple our labor costs? Highly unlikely, highly unlikely. But it's also, by the way, if you were to do that, extraordinarily inflationary.
Oh my God,
inflation would explode. So there's a lot of economic reasons why he would not, but he's not going to do the right thing because it's the right thing.
Right. You know, it's interesting. So here in where this show is recorded in Green Bay, Wisconsin, we have a huge meatpacking company. We have a couple of them. And I drive past on my way home every day past a massive dairy farm. And it's not white guys out there at 8 o'clock at night milking cows and shoveling manure. You know, it's not.
Yeah. Of course it's not.
And it's so funny because every time I've talked to someone about, oh, they're taking our jobs, it's like, you're not going to do that. Tell me you're going to do that.
Under any circumstance, no matter what the pay wage is, you will not do that job.
Right.
And that's what we have to recognize is, and that's a foundational part of the economy. The dairy industry is foundational to what we do. It's not like you're making, you know, doorstops. This is necessary. And so once these economies become crippled, you're going to have a public reaction. And that's why I'm convinced that the economic interests that are reliant on this labor won't allow it to happen. Now, we'll see. I think there's going to be a lot of discussion and tension. But the reality is there's not a lot of white guys waiting in line to grab those jobs, shoveling manure in the middle of the night.
So he's going to do the right thing for the white guys and keep those people here, right? That's what his plan is.
If that's kind of the history of the country. And that's why I wrote this Substack.
Right.
Because this is not new. This is a story as old as time. As old as the country.
He talked about like using the military. Like, is that legal? Can he do that?
Well, like I said, it's been done before. And the way you get around it by saying legal is you declare these enemies of the state.
Oh.
And that opens up a whole different can of worms. It's kind of like what we did with the Japanese in turning the Japanese, right? Is you say that this is, you know, a domestic terrorist plot. And, you know, we think that, you know, whatever rationale you can come up with begins that's how you get the ball rolling with engaging the military. And remember, in both of these mass deportations, the military was used.
Right.
So there's precedent for it. Presidents have done this before. And if there's ever a president who would do it again, you know, he's the one who's going to be sworn into office on January 20th.
I think and one thing that, you know, I talked to you about this before we were on the air. One of the things that I want people to do, and what I do with this show, is to try to educate and arm people with, you know, how to see this for what it is. As we talked to Mike Madrid here, who's an expert on this stuff. How can people cut through the dog whistle stuff about, you know, I don't know, stand back and stand by and all this other stuff? You know, I talk to people and they say, well, he can't control who supports him. He can't. How can they see the racism for what it is?
Well, I think the first thing is to call it on the carpet, because you absolutely can control it. Yeah. Whatever you think of his policies, Ronald Reagan spoke out against the David Dukes in the party.
Yep.
Barry Goldwater's whole movement was predicated on driving white nationalists, white supremacists, and you know, John Berkshire's out of the party.
Yep.
So it is a complete fabrication to say you can't determine who supports them. You can delineate morally why these people should or should not be standing for you. So to me, that's kind of the most offensive moral capitulation, is to say, well, you can't help it if the racists support you. Yes, you absolutely can.
Yeah, you can.
Okay? And so the fact that he doesn't tells us everything that we need to do. But what I would also suggest is this. If you're in a debate or discussion with people and or him or whoever else about how this can or can't be done, you're already losing this fight and allowing this to be held on false pretenses, because you don't see people of moral standing with racists supporting them. You don't see people of good character with the Proud Boys behind them.
Yeah.
And so that you don't need to justify your natural instincts and righteous indignation. It's there for a reason. We all know that it's wrong. He knows that it's wrong, incidentally. And so that I think is becoming part of the character test of this nation at this moment in time. And it's what we have to struggle with to kind of demand that this be a better part of who we are.
Yeah, I said this last week on the episode that, you know, we talked a little bit about that. And I said, you know, if you walk into a room of Trump supporters and on the right you see, you know, white nationalists and the Proud Boys, and then on the other side you see, you know, anti-gay, Moms for Liberty, hate groups and all of that, you're standing in the wrong room.
Right. That's exactly it. It's like back in 2016, we would say, you know, I'd get asked all the time, are you calling all Trump supporters racist? And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying all Trump supporters are racist, but I'm saying all the racists are Trump supporters.
Right.
So I mean, if you walk into that room, we all have that you know, spider sense tingling that,
yes,
this is not right. Trust that, because that's why that's there.
Right.
You know when something is not right. And that was actually the speech I gave at Cooper Union at the, you know, 150th anniversary of Reagan's speech. It was literally called this, you know, this is not right. That was the message. You know, we don't need to explain it. You know, it's not right. And Republicans do know it's not right.
Well, and they're, you know, not all Trump supporters are racists, but they certainly don't have an issue with being on the same team as them.
Yeah, exactly right. They're comfortable with it now.
Right. And so,
or always were,
yes,
by the way.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, pass it off as, well, he can't control it. So how do you think this time would be different than 2016 with him actually being able to go through with some pretty dark stuff?
Well, I do believe two things. One, I believe that I think incompetence really saved us the last time.
Mm.
And I think that there's some elements to that this time. Remember, as I mentioned, I think in the early part of the discussion, in 2016, he surrounded himself with at least some establishment figures who had a basic concept and philosophy and understanding of government. This is not the case. Matt Gaetz, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., these are not serious people who are interested at all in advancing the cause of America. That is obviously problematic and horrifying. But at the same time, that leaves the opportunity for resistance, because remember, this interregnum period between the election and the swearing in is sort of a helpless moment. Joe Biden is the president, and all we're doing is responding to stories. Once he becomes the president of the United States, you are going to see the resistance, the opposition, consolidate swiftly and strongly. I believe that's to my core. And now what you're going to see is less competent actors running the government responding to that political pressure. And you're going to have a lot of people in the business community saying, you know what? The instability of this government is not good for business. You're going to have to, because it's not, by the way.
Right.
Everybody in the world's biggest market is the United States. Having us unstable is not good for business. He is going to be responsive to that. It's why people stepping up and voicing their concerns and being good, active, responsible, moral citizens is extremely important in the coming years.
So what can people do?
Well, I think a lot of it is we keep doing what we have been doing. And like I said, the difference between an election and civil, protest is an election is about a hypothetical. It's about what you want it to be. Civil protest is about the factual, the actual, what is actually happening. Those are two very, very different considerations. And when things do begin to start happening, you are going to see people getting up and speaking out and not being afraid to speak out, which is the most important thing. There's going to be a fear that if I say something, then I'll be on a list, or they're going to come out and get me. That's how authoritarianism wins. And the stronger you are, the louder the chorus gets. So we have to remember that. You've got to know there are strength in numbers, and you've got to be one of those numbers being strong.
Yeah, I talk to people every week about, having the courage to say what needs to be said regardless. I think that's really important.
If not, it does get worse.
Right, right. And final thoughts about, how if this happens and this, what can good people do I didn't want to talk about this, but I have neighbors who he works in an assembly line at a plant. How can I help them?
Well, the first thing to do is ask, right?
Yeah.
And be that voice, be that person. And I'm not trying to make an equivalency, but when governments do start hunting people amongst them, it is only the neighbors, it is only the citizens around that can help. And whatever that may mean, it may mean, finding a lawyer. May mean, offering some advice. It may mean calling a congressman that you know. It may be, it may mean more than that. But for the moment, I think the important thing is early in advance, is asking and letting people know, because there's extraordinary fear right now. There's terror in households right now in America. As much as so many of us are unsettled, there is sheer terror in many, many neighborhoods in this country. And letting them know that you are an ally and a supporter and somebody who can give them safe haven regardless of what they need, it would be incredibly comforting at this moment and would probably pay off with big dividends in the coming weeks and or months.
Yeah, and I never... What a surreal thing to be talking about.
Yeah, but this is our moment. It is surreal. This is something that we thought was behind us, but we have to remember that history rhymes. It never goes away. This will never be eliminated from the face of the earth as long as there are human beings. That's not the way this works. But what is required is each of us to do our part at this moment in time. And history has told us if we meet the moment, we will come out of this better and stronger. We will.
I believe that too. And I cannot thank you enough for your time here today. I can't thank you enough for your activism and for what you're doing and for your voice, bringing voice to millions of people. Seriously, it's amazing.
You're doing the same thing, and that's what it's all about. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your audience. I appreciate the engagement. Check out that article on Substack.
Yes.
It is a little bit jaw dropping. Educate yourself on what has happened in the past. Be armed with that. This is not hypothetical. There's evidence on how it was done. and action, how to respond. So let's learn from those successes too.
Awesome. Mike Madrid, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you. You bet.
All right. We'll be back right after this on the Rational Revolution.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
But if you go carry. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. We got Mark Becker here. I'm your host. We're with Natalie Albert, columnist for the USA Today, talking about mental health. We were talking about doom and gloom and all the things that have been going wrong and what's hurting in our communities. Well, but you mentioned something on the other side. You said that this is a community awareness mm-hmm. issue. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about, you know, how do we address this as a community?
Yeah, so it's important that we talk positives. You know, I think people are much more keen on listening to positives that are coming from this. Studies do suggest that we respond well to positive news. And so some positive news that we have about mental health, teachers are more and more engaging with mental health awareness and education. So I know that in summer times, a lot of school districts will get together to teach how to have more awareness over symptoms and risk factors that they should be keen to observe. And if they're not comfortable, say, like, I mean, most high school, middle school, elementary school teachers, they're probably, you know, the reason they got into teaching at the grade level isn't to monitor people's mental health. It's to teach calculus.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, this is a way for them to be able to identify, okay, like, if grades suddenly drop, someone in class is suddenly not communicating, if they're not showering and it's very clear, if they're not showing up to class, these are all signs that something's wrong. And so here are the proper steps you can take. And so that's been improving quite a bit.
One of the things that I think is interesting because I, you know, in my time in politics, I've interacted with a lot of reporters and I know that, like, you have to balance, you know, wanting to cause change with calling balls and strikes in this role. How do you, 'cause I know this is a passion of yours. Mm-hmm. How do you try to impact the issue as a whole, but balance that with, this is where we're at.
Mm-hmm. It is hard. It is hard to have to write the same stories over and over again.
Right.
But I think, as you know, you said earlier, and this, people take liberties at facts, but facts do matter. If you just keep giving the same facts over and over again, that 1 in 4 kids are struggling with their mental health, that 1 in half of girls are contemplating suicide. These are numbers.
Half
are contemplating suicide. There is a pervasive sense of hopelessness and sadness in schools. And, you know, and it's worse for marginalized students. It's And you know, all of these factors are, they're coming from students. They're not randomized studies that are estimations of what kids are going through. These are surveys that are conducted throughout high schools in Wisconsin, and it is concerning. I can't not be passionate and scared for young people. And I don't pretend some idea that I'm objective about whether I want a child to be well. I think it's important for me to look directly at people when I say this child is suffering. I don't care how we spin it. This is a kid in pain. And what, as a politician, are you going to do to help lift up this generation? There shouldn't be politicians out there that could look at those numbers and think, that's fine.
Meh, right.
Yeah. And if there are, I do want people to know that, mm-hmm. that's the case. You know, we do need more people paying attention to an issue that has been historically unrecognized or underrecognized. So I will keep repeating stats. I will keep repeating facts. I will keep telling narrative stories that are human driven about where we are with kids, where we are with women, with older adults, with LGBTQ people, with marginalized folks. Like, it's so important to keep repeating it.
What can we do as a society? What can I do, or Todd, the God, the producer, do? What can we do?
Be kind, you know, and open and not judgmental of what someone else is going through. And, you know, if there are programs at your schools, if there are referendums coming up that could put more money into mental health programs, look into that, or ask leaders of schools, like, what are the mental health programs that exist and what needs to happen to get mental health programs at my school? And chances are they'll say, we need money. And so get involved, like, become a community voice and tell the story of people who are struggling. Tell the story of Sammy, the 10-year-old, and all the other children who are at risk right now, because there are so many who are at risk. There are a lot who aren't, and that's awesome. I just feel like it's harder and harder as a reporter for me to find those kids.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I couldn't even read the article, because I'm like, oh my God, I can't, you know, cause it's so difficult. And I think, you know, if there's a takeaway from our conversation, I hope it's that we all are in this together, and we have to, you know, have mindfulness, something that we try to teach our kids. Be kind, be mindful. Mr. Rogers, right?
Mr. Rogers.
Who's the Mr. Rogers today?
Right. And one other thing I want to just mention before we go, this isn't a political issue.
No, right.
It is the least political.
Yeah.
It risks becoming political, but I sat at a table with a Republican senator recently, and we had a very amazing conversation about what needs to change. And at no point in the conversation did I think, this is a, you know,
He's not sincere.
Oh. I've had conversations with Democrats and had the same takeaway. This is not a partisan issue. This is a human issue. And as long as it stays a human issue, we can make change.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do for the state. Thank you for what you do for our kids. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rational Revolution, guys. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. It rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey, everybody, join us next time, an all-new live show back in the studio. Join us for a look back at the holiday weekend and prepare you for the week ahead.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2. When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.